Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, the end of the week is here, and the weekend is near. I'm so glad to be joining you guys today, because this edition of WKAR's Current Sports probably feels the most normal since the coronavirus pandemic sent shockwaves throughout the sporting world, creating numerous cancellations and postponements. But today feels a little normal because we still had the NFL draft take place last night in a very unique way. And today we are going to recap what we saw last night on that broadcast from 8 to 11:30 p.m. Many sports fans huddled around the TV, excited about the futures of their respective franchises because you were drafting some top-tier talent. I mean, round one is the most exciting round of the NFL draft because you are talking about the best of the best in college football, of the college ranks, making their dreams come true. And, of course, I'm going to talk to you, Detroit Lions fans, because for the most part, I mean, many people look at this selection as a good one. It was a safe one. Jeff Okuda, who is one of the top, in my opinion, cornerbacks in this year's draft. He's a bona fide star. We all know the Detroit Lions needed to make a move to try to replace a Pro Bowl corner in Darius Slay. You couldn't get a long-term deal done with Darius Slay. He asked for money that the Lions just simply weren't willing to pony up and pay. So you needed to fill that hole. You needed to fill that void. But I'll tell you why I'm a little bit on the fence about this pick. And it's pretty obvious if you listen to yesterday's edition of WKAR's Current Sports. If you want to be great, you got to be willing to take a risk here and there. And I thought that last night, having the number 3 overall pick in the NFL draft yielded an opportunity for the Detroit Lions to take the obvious risk. And depending on who the brother I'm referring to, how he produces at the next level, the Lions could be looking back in immense regret. Other than the Detroit Lions, I'm going to be commenting overall on the draft, the event that it was, who was taken in the top 10, maybe some other shocking picks later on down the line. I'm going to get to all of that as well. I'll have a draft recap, if you will. And boy, oh boy, did we need this, right? We needed this. I mean, we have been sitting back in our respective homes trying to stay as safe as possible. Sports are our release. And when we don't have sports, you feel like there's a void in your life. You really do. And if you didn't know how important sports were to your life, you know now. So having the event that was last night was pretty special. And I'm going to give major props to Roger Goodell and the National Football League for putting on what was a pretty well-done show. Despite a few technical errors here and there, that was very well done. And I know many of you out there are looking forward to seeing rounds 2 and 3 tonight and, you know, throughout the weekend as the draft continues. I'm one of those guys. I'm really not glued to my TV after round 1 for the NFL draft, but I may be tuning in a little bit tonight and throughout the weekend just because, I mean, what else do I have to do, right? All right, so we'll talk all things NFL draft. If you would like to weigh in on today's NFL draft round 1 recap edition of WKAR's Current Sports, you know that there are multiple ways in which you can do that. You can hop on social media and weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. And you can pick up that phone and text, not call, but text 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. I want to hear from the Lions fans out there. What did you think of last night's number 3 pick of Jeff Okuda, the star secondary stud from Ohio State University? Do you like the pick, or would you have rather wanted the Lions to go in a different direction? Also, excuse me, your overall thoughts on the NFL draft last night. Want to hear from you on that if you have any thoughts there as well. But you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. And we, of course, start here as the Detroit Lions made Ohio State cornerback Jeff Okuda the number 3 pick of the first round last night. Okuda joins Denzel Ward, Jalen Ramsey, and Patrick Peterson as the only cornerbacks to go in the top 5 of the last 17 drafts. And he's the highest player picked at his position since Sean Springs, when he went 3rd overall to the Seattle Seahawks back in 1997. That's how long it has been since we've seen a cornerback taken in the NFL draft that high. That's pretty amazing stuff. All right, the Lions have shuffled personnel across their defenses this offseason, as many of us know. And Okuda will join cornerback Desmond Trufant and safety Duron Harmon in the new-look secondary for the Honolulu Blue. A junior who was a first-team All-American last season in his only full year as a starter, Okuda was widely considered one of 4 blue-chip defensive players in the draft. So the Lions played it safe here, and no doubt about it, they get a top-tier talent in Jeff Okuda, but they may be looking back, wondering what could have been, and that's if one particular player turns out to be a star, and I think many of you know who I'm talking about, all right? Stick around for that conversation. But the NFL draft was wildly entertaining, as it was the first at-home, in-house, virtual NFL draft. There were cameras set up in the homes of the first-round prospects as they heard their names called from the mouth of Roger Goodell, who was in his basement announcing the picks. It was pretty remarkable how the NFL, ABC, and ESPN pulled this whole thing off. It was pretty remarkable to watch. And, you know, I just want to kind of give you guys just a brief overview, excuse me, of the top 10 picks. And number one, of course, went to Cincinnati as they chose Joe Burrow, the quarterback from LSU, who had one unprecedented year at his position last season en route to, of course, the national championship for the Tigers. Number two went to Washington as they chose defensive end Chase Young from Ohio State. You guys already know who the Lions took at number three. Number four, the New York Giants took offensive tackle Andrew Thomas from Georgia. Number five, the Miami Dolphins took the Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. More on that in just a moment. At number six, the LA Chargers took Justin Herbert, the quarterback from Oregon. Number seven, Derrick Brown went to the Carolina Panthers. Brown is a defensive tackle from Auburn. Number eight, the Arizona Cardinals chose Isaiah Simmons, the freakish linebacker from Clemson. Number nine, C.J. Henderson, the cornerback from Florida. He stays in Florida, balling out for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And at number 10, Jedrick Willis Jr., the offensive tackle from Alabama. He heads to the Cleveland Browns. Again, I'll have an overview of the NFL draft later on this hour. Don't miss it. Also, I want to note that Michigan center Cesar Ruiz was selected by the New Orleans Saints in the first round of the NFL draft. New Orleans drafted Ruiz with the number 24th pick, and he went from the number one center in his high school recruiting class to one of the top centers in the country while at the University of Michigan. Now he is the first center off the board on draft day. The Camden, New Jersey native started all 26 games for Michigan the last 2 years. After appearing in 10 games as a true freshman, he decided to forego his senior season because of a high draft grade. So for those watching which Michigan and Michigan State college football players are being selected in this year's draft, Cesar Ruiz becomes the first to be chosen. And very sad news here, you know, just a few hours after the first round of the NFL draft concluded, I learned while playing Madden and actually playing with my Dallas Cowboys on the Madden video game, playing with Dak Prescott. You know, I looked on my phone as I'm playing my homie Sil, and I saw breaking news concerning our starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Sad news as Jace Prescott, the older brother of Dallas Cowboys QB Dak, he passed away yesterday. This is what Jerry Jones, the team's owner, said in a statement, quote, "We are so saddened that Dak has lost his brother. We want to help him get through this time, whatever we can do to help him get through this time. When you are young and Dak is young, death is really hard to understand, to think about, or live with," end quote. Jace Prescott, just 31 years old. Just 31 years old. Was the middle of three brothers, Dak and Tad. His cause of death has not been announced. But we send thoughts and prayers to the Prescott family. I can only imagine what they are going through. Okay, to less important matters, Michigan State's top 2020 recruiting target is declaring for the NBA draft. But the Spartans still have a chance of landing him. Tom Izzo and his staff still hopeful. Five-star Canadian point guard Kareem Main has submitted his paperwork to become eligible for this summer's draft. He made that announcement to ESPN yesterday. But Main said he will retain college eligibility and indicated he might need a guarantee from a team to be drafted in order to stay in. This is what he told ESPN. Direct quote here. Quote, I sent in my paperwork, but I am keeping my options open as far as college. I am not planning on hiring an agent right now. I want to hear directly from teams. If I get the guarantee that I'll be drafted, I will probably need to think about staying in. End quote. Maine is eligible for the 2020 NBA draft because he is an international prospect and will be 20 years old come next month. So we'll keep an eye on Kareem Maine. Uncertain times remains the status quo of the sports world right now. But it hasn't stopped schools from scheduling games for the upcoming year. The Michigan men's basketball team has agreed to host Oakland and Southern Utah at Chrysler Center during the 2020-2021 season. Southern Utah will come to Ann Arbor on November 27th, Oakland on December 21st. The contracts for both games were obtained through a public records request. Michigan is expected to play 31 regular season contests next season, including 20 Big Ten games. The Wolverines have 6 non-conference games on the books so far. As previously reported, they will play at Oregon on November 14th, participate in the Empire Classic in New York on November 19th and 20th, and will also travel to London for a December 6th matchup with Kentucky. So Juwan Howard trying to stack up some big dogs on that schedule to make sure that his team is battle-tested. Maybe the Tom Izzo philosophy, right? Being battle-tested early so you can see where you're at. And then as the season goes along, you can plug those holes in the boat and become better. All right, the city of Las Vegas was supposed to host the NFL draft this year, but that didn't end up happening due to, of course, the coronavirus pandemic. And to make up for the fact that the draft was taken away from Sin City, the NFL did announce yesterday that Vegas will be getting another shot to host the draft. And that shot will be coming in 2022. And what might go down as the most confusing announcement, though, in league history, I don't know if you guys caught this last night, but I caught it immediately because I'm sitting there saying, hold on. That doesn't make any sense because 2020 is this year. Roger Goodell, he revealed that the 2022 location will be in Vegas. He made that announcement during that first round last night, but when the camera went on him, I don't know if he was reading a teleprompter or not. I would assume so. Maybe somebody forgot to change the year in the prompter because he said that the 2020 NFL draft will be taking place in Las Vegas. And I'm sitting there saying the 2020 NFL draft, well, that's taking place right now, and it's taking place in your basement. So that can't be right. So soon after that flub, the Oakland Raiders went on social media and cleared up everything and said that, hey, we're excited to host the 2022 NFL draft. So, yeah, and that announcement was made just as the Oakland Raiders were getting ready to make that pick at number 19. So, yeah, I think that was a prompter problem. All right, well, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, once you dial it, you got to text. You can't call us, all right? So just text us. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment there on our Facebook page. And again, you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. When we come back from this first break, I will tell you my thoughts on the Detroit Lions selecting Jeff Okuda from Ohio State with that number 3 overall draft pick. Yay or nay on that pick? That and more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just finished up the quick hit headliners. Of course, those headliners centered on the NFL draft. And before I dive into my thoughts on what the Detroit Lions were able to do with that number three overall draft pick, I do, again, want to give ESPN, which is owned by ABC, and the National Football League a lot of credit for what they were able to put together and will continue to put together in the coming rounds of the NFL draft. Round one airing last night. That was awesome. That was awesome. The only gripe that I had, the only complaint that I had that I tweeted last night was I just hate the time in between picks. Sitting there twiddling our thumbs. It's like, dude, you've had months to prepare for these picks. Why so much time in between each pick? It's like, especially when everybody's in their homes, you don't have the crowd to pan to. You know, you just got all these talking heads breaking down these players, repeating the same things over and over. I really did like the storytelling aspect, though. That's one of the coolest parts of the NFL draft every single year, in which you really get to know these players in a different way, right? Away from the football field. I enjoyed that, but, you know, that was the only complaint I had. You know, the time in between, and I think it's because we're so impatient right now because we are all quarantined at our homes. And I've been watching a lot of Netflix, right? And when it comes to Netflix, I mean, you've got all of the series and movies at your fingertips where you can play, rewind, go to the next episode if you're watching a series. I mean, it's all at the ready. So to sit there and wait, I think my patience has taken a hit throughout this quarantine. But that's really the only complaint I had. And I got to give a lot of credit to you know, those networks as well for how they began the draft. I thought it was absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. And I love how they had Peyton Manning voice that amazing tribute to those on the front lines and to those who have passed away due to this pandemic. It was very, very touching in the images that they had. Very, very touching stuff. Also making the point that we're missing sports because sports are what can bind us together and act as a moment of healing for us all. And of course, Peyton's voice was met with one of my favorite tracks ever. Hopeful is the name of it. Done by, of course, Twista, one of the fastest rapping brothers of all time, and the great Faith Evans. So it was awesome. I love how they began it. I thought the broadcast was great. It was met with very few technical difficulties. You know, I didn't see any videos cut out. The audio was pretty good for the most part, and I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was awesome stuff. Now let's get to the Detroit Lions. Because the Detroit Lions, what they were able to do with that draft pick, it's being met with, I would say for the most part, it's being met with positive reviews. But with that being said, there's still like this elephant in the room. The Lions played it safe. That's always going to happen when you play it safe. I stated on yesterday's Current Sports that there are two conversations here. There were two conversations when discussing that number three draft pick. It's what the Lions will do and what the Lions should do. I knew they were going to take Jeff Okuda. Very predictable. Very safe. You lost Darius Slay in the offseason. which is still annoying if you are a Detroit Lions fan to think about. You lose a Pro Bowl talent like that. The fact is, Darius Slay now is in his 30s, and a long-term deal for a corner, you can debate that. But what puzzled me is, I mean, Matt Patricia is in a win-now mode. Bob Quinn is in a win-now mode. It's like win-now or your legacy will continue. Your reputation, I should say, will continue to be tarnished because you have not had great success in taking over this Detroit Lions franchise. So a franchise that's in a win-now mentality, how in the world do you let a Darius Slay slip away? Don't get that. But you did. Typical Lions. So now you need it to fill a hole that you wouldn't have needed to fill if you would have got that deal done. So what'd they do? They drafted Jeff Okuda, one of the best corners. Well, let's just go ahead and say it. I think the best corner in the draft. That's why he was taken third overall and why he was rated so high. He's a first-team All-American playing under Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes out in Columbus, Ohio. The kid is very, very talented, and I think, you know, he's got the potential to be a star. I think he can come right in. I mean, whoever you draft, if you have a top-10 draft pick, whoever you draft, you expect that player to come in and make an immediate impact. When you look at this young man's highlight tape, it is very, very impressive. No doubt about it. He's big. 6'1", 205 pounds. Fundamentally sound. He's a guy that you can plug in at corner for the next 10 years and really not worry about him. Will he be Darius Slay, though? I don't know. Those are big. Big words. Darius Slay was phenomenal. Many times single-handedly led that defense to some fantastic performances. Many times single-handedly won games for the Detroit Lions in crucial moments when offenses were driving in the fourth quarter. He's not Darius Slay. We don't know if he's going to be Darius Slay or better than Darius Slay. And there are still problems to fix on this team. It's a safe pick. He's a fine player. Okuda is a fine player. But as I've been saying, you are the Detroit Lions. You are a laughingstock in the National Football League, and you have been for many, many years. You have not won a playoff game since the early 90s. What do you have to lose? And with that, I pivot to that elephant in the room. The Lions not taking Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. This young man, and I know there were Lions fans out there that were trying to hype themselves up and say, oh, well, we got Jeff Okuda. When you watch this young man on your television screen, and you listen to how he speaks, how respectful he is, his faith-based background, you look at his family, his work ethic, how humble he is. He exudes leader, doesn't he? I mean, just listening to him on that broadcast last night, I mean, he reminds me so much. His demeanor reminds me so much of a Russell Wilson. And heck, his game reminds me of a Russell Wilson. And heck, his looks remind me of a Russell Wilson. Tell me, when you look at Tua Tagovailoa, he does not remind you of like, you know, he could be like Russell Wilson's younger brother. Couldn't he? I mean, there are so many parallels. And if this dude turns out to be the next Russell Wilson, the Lions will forever look back at this NFL draft and will regret it. And fans will look back and say, yep, we played it safe. And that's what we get for playing it safe. Those who play it safe in the game of life will never accomplish anything that is great. Simple as that. What do you got to lose? Matthew Stafford has had back injuries the last two seasons. And you guys know, I am one of the biggest Matthew Stafford fans. One of the biggest Matthew Stafford advocates. When you look at the Detroit Lions and you say, what is the problem? Matthew Stafford is way, 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 way down on that list. I'm not saying Matthew Stafford played outstanding last season. But this dude, when you look at his overall career, he has always been there, shown tremendous toughness, and found ways to win. Matthew Stafford is not the Lions' problem. But the fact of the matter is, Stafford, he's aging. I mean, he's 32 years old. He turned 32 in February. He's not getting any younger. And he has had two seasons now, back-to-back seasons, in which he has battled back injuries. I stated yesterday, Matthew Stafford has literally broken his back these last two seasons trying to carry this horrid franchise. That's what has happened. He's injury prone. And I get it. Tua Tagovailoa has had injuries as well in his career. I understand that. You're probably sitting there, those who are trying to pump up themselves in regards to this conversation as to why the Detroit Lions did not take Tua Tagovailoa, will immediately bring up, well, Tua has had injuries. That's the biggest question. Will Tua Tagovailoa stay healthy? He suffered multiple injuries, including a dislocated right hip and posterior wall fracture in November that he has been rehabbing from throughout the winter and the spring. Tua's doctors say he will be 100% by the start of training camp. And we all know the bigger question here is how long he can last in the NFL. But you are the Detroit Lions. This is a young man who had, prior to the injuries, a remarkable career at Alabama, leading them to a national championship just a few years ago when Nick Saban decided to throw him in the second half. He's a great player. The Miami Dolphins realize that. The Miami Dolphins and the Detroit Lions can be stated in the same breath. Yeah, maybe the Miami Dolphins are a little bit worse. But look, man, it's the Detroit Lions we're talking about. There are tiers in the NFL, and the Miami Dolphins and the Detroit Lions are in that same lowly, desperate tier. What do you have to lose? And Miami is looking at Tua Tagovailoa and saying, yep, that's our franchise quarterback. We're going to ride or die with this team. Why not? And speaking of Miami, I thought Miami did a great job. I mean, you get Tua at 5. Then at 18, you get offensive tackle Austin Jackson, who is amazing. And I didn't know the story about, you know, Austin Jackson's sister, I believe it is, who is, you know, battling a rare genetic disorder called diamond black fan anemia. And she is recovering. But, man, that was a really touching story. That kind of got to me when I was watching that last night. But he's a great player as well. Miami, I give them an A last night. But again, when it comes to Tua, I get the thought process. I get the thought process. You got Matthew Stafford. He'll be our quarterback for at least the next 3 years. You're dumping a lot of money into Stafford already. But gosh, especially if Tua, if he's going to sit on the bench for the next 2 to 3 years, I mean, he'll get a chance to rest up even more. His body will heal up even more, even though doctors say he will be 100% by the start of next season. And he'll learn under Matthew Stafford, learn that offense. You can ease him in two things. And then you got a quarterback who is a young stud in Tua if Matthew Stafford goes down, which he has the last two seasons. That was a huge problem last year. Another point I made on Thursday's show was that the Lions last season, that backup quarterback situation was a clown show. Complete clown show. The Lions didn't have an adequate backup quarterback, and they looked totally incompetent. So, I don't know, man. You played it safe, and I just think that this is going to be a situation where, yeah, you get a great talent in Jeff Okuda. I'm not saying this is not like the Detroit Pistons drafting Darko Milicic instead of Carmelo Anthony, all right? Jeff Okuda is a solid player in that secondary who is going to be a star, I think. But what if Tua turns out to be the next big thing in the NFL? What do you got to lose, man? It was safe. It was safe. And, you know, when it comes to Okuda, you know, I mean, he's big, man. 6'1". He's got great speed. You know, one of the things they brought up when the Lions drafted him, you know, you heard Kirk Herbstreit bring this up on the broadcast last night, is that this brother is just a smart player. You know, when he's going after the ball, when it's in the air, in the secondary, he doesn't get a lot of flags thrown on him. He's got great fundamentals at that cornerback position. You know, which is why he became a first-team All-American. He's got great work ethic. I mean, this kid has potential. But again, I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, we just drafted, you guys just drafted the next Darius Slay. You know, I don't know. So I want to know, what are your thoughts? You know, what did you like or didn't like about what the Lions were able to do with that number 3 overall draft pick? Because, you know, there's also a level of disappointment here. I'm not trying to be nasty negative, but I feel like every time I talk about the Detroit Lions, it's fitting because they are the Detroit Lions. But I got to make this point as well. I thought that the Detroit Lions were going to make more moves last night. You know, it was a bit disappointing for me because the Lions weren't able to maybe add an extra pick in the mix last night. You know, Bob Quinn, his negotiations, you know, because I'm pretty sure he tried it. But if you're going to do this, I mean, why not go for some more draft picks? So I don't know. He couldn't get that job done. So that was a bummer for me. And you know, I just do want to read this quote from Bob Quinn. You know, Quinn, he was asked about Tua, and he explained why he passed on Tua at number 3. No, he didn't get into specifics about Tua's evaluation, but he did make it clear that the Lions personnel staff did extensive research and they did take the injuries into account, which everybody has to, right, when drafting a player that high who has had injury history. Quinn said in a video conference with reporters after Thursday's first round, quote, "We evaluated Tua. We had a really good meeting with him. This guy is a very energetic guy and a charismatic guy in the interview process. Talked to Coach Nick Saban about him a lot. Just called down. This year we probably made more calls to college coaches just because we have more time to do that. So we talked to Nick about their guys down there. They love him down there. Think he's an excellent college QB. going to be an excellent pro quarterback. Then Quinn went on to address Tua's medical evaluation. And I don't know, it's rumored out there that at least two NFL teams have reportedly failed him medically. I don't know how much you want to read into that. I don't know, maybe that was a smokescreen to get other players to pass on him, other teams, excuse me, to pass on him. I don't know. Maybe the Dolphins put that out there. Who knows? But Quinn didn't say what the Lions' medical evaluation was of Tua, but he did say this, quote, "The medical was something that was evaluated, as well as those are all the things you have to put into the equation. So to answer your question, we evaluated everybody from top to bottom, and Tua was no different." So he gave you the very politically correct answer there. Matthew Stafford, 32. Second different back injury that cost him eight games last year. Eight games. And Matty Staff is under contract through 2022. He has a $10 million roster bonus due next offseason. And in February, there were some rumblings about possibly Matty Staff being traded, which Bob Quinn shut that down. So, yeah. All I'm saying is regret is a realistic possibility here later on down the road. Again, and we don't know how good these players are going to be. That's the thing that I chuckle when it comes to professional sports and, you know, drafting in professional sports, because so many people make these hard evaluations about these young men. We don't know how good any of these players are going to be until time reveals itself. So the time starts now. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll give you my overall thoughts on last night's NFL draft. I'll comment on a few more players. And I'll have Reflection Friday for you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You just heard my thoughts on last night's NFL draft as it pertains to the Detroit Lions taking Jeff Okudah at number three, the stud corner from The Ohio State University. Overall thoughts of the draft, though. You know, last night, you know, first off, I just love seeing these young men make their dreams come true. Many who have been waiting on that moment since they were little tykes playing in PAL League football. I love that, man. I love how the different cameras were set up. It was awesome. It was awesome. You know, and for the broadcast team to pull that off, oh, it was beautiful to watch. Other takeaways, I got to address my Dallas Cowboys. Pick number 17, C.D. Lamb, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma. That offense is going to be nasty next year. Amari Cooper, fresh off a $100 million contract. Michael Gallup, he's on that roster. We have our top receivers in set. They needed, you know, we needed to replace Randall Cobb, who left for Houston in free agency. So we pick up C.D. Lamb from Oklahoma. He can play different spots. He was explosive. 32 touchdowns in 41 games at Oklahoma. I love that pick. But did you see what CeeDee Lamb did? This went viral on social media last night. CeeDee Lamb, I guess his girlfriend was sitting right next to him during the NFL draft, and they had him on camera, and he's got two phones. Now, I don't know what he's doing with that second phone. Maybe that second phone is his phone that he uses for other purposes. But he was not happy. When his girlfriend picked up that second phone, he was on the first phone, and he snatched that phone so quickly from her, I don't know. And it went viral. CeeDee Lamb said, oh, no, you can't touch that phone. It was hilarious. If you haven't seen that video, you got to check it out. I hope that relationship is okay after a moment like that goes viral. Oh, boy, you got to watch. You got to know the cameras are on. Making a move like that, CeeDee Lamb said, nope, you cannot see that phone. Oh, that was pretty funny from last night. Joe Burrow becoming the first overall pick. You know, great to see him shouting out Athens County in Ohio as he puts on for his city, as the great poet Young Jeezy would say, and made them very, very proud last night, becoming the number one overall draft pick, coming off a year in which, you know, I don't think there's any argument. That was the greatest year we've ever seen from any college quarterback in college football history. Joe Burrow becomes number one overall, and we'll see if he can turn things around out in Cincinnati. And shout out to Joe Burrow. There was a very cool feature that aired last night on NBC Nightly News that talked about how Joe Burrow is giving back to Athens County, which is a town that has been riddled with hunger problems. One in three people there suffer from hunger. So he's been giving back and helping out local food banks there. It's awesome. Awesome, awesome story. Joe Burrow is a hero in that community. Other takeaways, you know, I gotta say this, you know, when it came to what the Green Bay Packers did, and a report came out today saying that the Green Bay Packers did not notify Aaron Rodgers that they were going to draft the quarterback at number 26. They moved up to get that pick. So the Green Bay Packers not only moved up, but they move up to what perceivably looks like they're drafting for the future. Behind center. They drafted Aaron Rodgers' replacement. That's what it looks like, right? You move up to 26. You get that from Houston via the Miami Dolphins. And you draft Jordan Love, the quarterback from Utah State, and you don't notify Aaron Rodgers. You don't notify Aaron. Huh. That was very interesting. I'll just say that. Maybe some trouble out in Green Bay. I don't know. But now Jordan Love, you know, he did comment on this last night. And this can go two ways here. You know, Jordan Love could be embraced by Aaron Rodgers, or Aaron Rodgers could basically say, I don't care for you, you're my replacement, I'm competing against you, I'm not going to help you. But Jordan Love, soak up what you can out there in Wisconsin, playing under one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever do it. But, you know, you're looking at other moves here, you know, Henry Ruggs, I really love his talent. For the now Las Vegas Raiders, he was taken at the 12th pick. I still think, you know, the Raiders are still trying to fill that void of not having Amari Cooper. How about them Cowboys? But Henry Ruggs III is a great wide receiver out of Alabama. I really like that move. You need to give Derek Carr all the weapons that he needs. He's that kind of quarterback. So yeah, they're hoping out there in Vegas that Ruggs will be like a Tyreek Hill kind of player. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, overall, it was a very entertaining draft. I loved it. And, you know, as we go into the weekend on Monday's Current Sports, I want to let you guys know we'll recap episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance. I can't wait for that. Until then, folks, have a fantastic weekend. Be safe, be smart. And as always, be easy, people.